Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
Guys being dudes
on the Draft Dudes Podcast. And it starts now.
Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast.
Let's go!
Marino and Kyle Krabs, we're your hosts. Chris Schubert floating around producing this.
He's right here. I see him.
From the Draft Network, and we're brought to you by Bet Online, the number one spot for all your sports wagering information. Kyle, what do they have? What can you bet on at Bet Online?
Anything and everything from NFL, MLB, NBA, the golf. UFC, mixed martial arts, you know, I believe WNBA playoffs. Ray G told us it's WNBA playoff time, WNBA season. So, well, I mean, what do you want to do? You want to play Vegas casino games? Mm-hmm. They got the virtual coin slots.
Yeah.
Might have lost some last time I was zipping in betonline.net, but it's fine. It's cool. So
easy to use website.
Yeah, it's super easy to use. Do you like having like a nav bar on the left-hand side that you could just pick like what category you want to bet in, and then you just go in there and it'll illustrate everything they have available to you?
Are there any incentives if you sign up today for the first time?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they get what? How much is it?
50%.
50? 50%?
Bonus. Promo code BLEV50, BLEV50.
Hold on. I'm not a math guy, but you mean to tell me if I put $50 in there, they'll give me an extra $25 just for signing up?
Draft dudes do math correctly. Bet Online.
Wow.
Where the game starts, Kyle, happy National Oyster Day to you.
Let's go. Joe picked the food that I actually consume. That's outstanding. Happy National Oyster Day to you. And Chris, happy National Oyster Day to you as well.
Happy National Oyster Day to you guys as well. Did we just decide today of all days that we're just going to our microphone, so I have to monitor everybody's levels in like real time? Is that what we want?
Oh!
Yeah, great, because folks, I'm just letting you know, there's nothing I can do about that. So Kyle's just going off, he's going rogue on us today. Whatever this sounds like, it's gonna sound like takes on takes, episode 165, 66. Not really sure where we're at in the process, but yeah. See now, Kyle turned his mic off. Now he's just trolling me by turning his mic off so that he's not able to talk. Big troll that he is.
Chris, I maintain my innocence completely. I am 100% innocent. I have not done anything.
Takes on takes. I've got a bunch for us. Here we go.
Episode what?
Episode I'm checking for us in the back end here. I
150. 165. Jeez, 165. Okay. Bet.
I have a take from Tell, who again, last week you guys had to pick It was, let's make a deal. You had three doors mm-hmm. that you could pick from for the take, and then you picked the Warren Moon take. He's bounced back with another quarterback-related take this week for us. Take, Peyton Manning gets no flack for the fact his offenses in Indianapolis averaged 12.9 points per game in their playoff losses, and the Colts greatly benefited from being in the AFC South, as once the division was realigned with Houston joining the Colts, the Colts began their 12-plus win dominance. Taking a shot at Peyton Manning to start us here out on Take Some Picks.
I don't feel inclined to do this. I don't.
Player. Peyton's a great player. Now, sure, there was the slow start to playoff success with Peyton Manning. I think we can agree on that, right? Mm-hmm. It took a while to get over the hump. But once they did, they had some great playoff runs. They obviously won the Super Bowl with Indianapolis. They won another with Denver. Did they get propped up by the Texans? Houston was pretty good initially. Like the Matt Schaub, Andre Johnson, Texans were pretty solid.
If we're going to talk about quarterbacks getting propped up, and I know that it's...
Don't even say his name. Don't even say his name. The guy who's in Tampa now.
You don't think he benefited from the crap that was below him?
We all know that. That's why we're not bringing it up. We're just
going
to move on.
Right. We're not going there. We're moving on.
The Discord. And by the way, if you're not signed up for TDM Premium and part of the
Discord, what are you doing?
What are you doing? We had happy hour
last
night.
What are you even doing?
What a time. The first happy hour before an NFL game with the Hall of Fame game. We had a good time doing that last night. Got the Football Fridays coming up later today. You got all sorts of content on our Discord if you join TDM Premium. So head on over to thedraftnetwork.com and do so. Sam's got a take for us. And this one, I'm going right to Kyle Krabs right out of the gate here. I need Kyle's instant reaction to this take.
Christ.
Based on where they are at right now as prospects, Jared
this is an
Goff
incorrect take.
Is a better quarterback than Will Levis.
Yeah, Jaren Hall is the quarterback from BYU who's a really, really fun player. He's kind of a two-way threat. He's a good athlete. He can run. He's got like that baseball-type arm where he can throw from all those different kinds of platforms and on the move and has some really nice physical tools, but he's an older player. I did think from a decision-making perspective, he was – somebody who has some growth, and I think Will is exponentially a more physically gifted prospect. And I understand Will is a little raw around the edges too, and he needs to be more consistent this year. But projecting them forward and here and now, you could give me Will Levis. I'd take Will Levis in both.
Joe?
He's completely uncompelled.
I like Will Levis a lot. Would be surprised if I like Jaren Hall more, but I haven't watched Hall yet. So
this take from Michael G. If Tyler Linderbaum, who was a generational talent at center, couldn't go in the top 20, no center will go in the top 20 in a long time.
Tyler Linderbaum was not a generational talent.
He was not a generational talent. He's a really good prospect that had plenty of reasons to push him down the board.
Tell me more, Joe. Let's contextualize that, because we both had a pretty immediate reaction to say, no, we didn't view him in that light. So kind of a fringe. There will be teams, and there were teams, I'm sure, that had questions about Tyler's ability to play in their specific system or to match up one-on-one against nose tackles, right? Mm-hmm. And Baltimore is a team. They get extra numbers in the box because of Lamar's ability to run. So it's more climb second level flow and win in space in the screen game as compared to, hey, we're going to line up and it's going to be, we're going to run power. We're going to run inside zone and we're looking for vertical displacement in the run game. Teams that looked at Tyler like that, I think probably did not like the projection as richly. And as a result, you saw Tyler fall into the 20s. So I think it was more about Tyler's stature and specificity, especially when you foil it to the player most recently who had a similar profile, which is Garrett Bradbury, who has not found success in the NFL. And I think Tyler's a better prospect. But I think to be a generational center talent, you probably have to be a universal center talent, right? You probably got to be 315, uproot guys 101, and also then have the range to get outside the numbers and, you know, play in the run game and have lateral displacement as well. Oh, and be really good in pass protection and snap consistency and all that kind of stuff.
This take from the Sports Nut take, and we didn't get a chance to talk about this in depth on the show because Joe and I were derailed by the report of the Dolphins and the tanking and tampering. Take, Matt Corral will be the Panthers' starting quarterback before the season's end.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think there's a couple of reasons here. I think, first of all, I'm excited about Baker Mayfield, and I'm excited what Baker Mayfield's gotten done in the NFL to this point. And I think he represents the clear best option for Carolina this year. So I think, first of all, Baker Mayfield's there. And so barring injury, I think he's going to take hold of that job. The other part of it is Matt Corral and his own limitations, where it's a big jump for him coming from Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin's offense to what he's going to be asked to do in the NFL under Ben McAdoo.
And he said as such.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that quote or not, but he kind of said in hindsight, going to that offense is probably the easy way out as far as prepping me for the next level.
Yeah. And even within that, there was warts with how he saw the field, some of the deep ball placement, you know, creativity. There's things you like about Matt Corral, but I thought he went in a very appropriate range in the third round.
I agree.
Take from Matthew, different Matthew than the Matthew from before. We got two Matthews, this one from Matthew Turner. Take, the Green Bay Packers will be the 4 seed in the NFC this year. The depleted wide receiver core will hold the team back massively, but they will still win the NFC North in the title game against the Lions in week 18 to go 10-7.
I think they can seed higher than the NFC East winner.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think we came to the ceiling for the NFC East team probably being 11 is what we were comfortable with, right?
Yeah, most.
So, you know, and if you're 10-7, then yeah, you're in that neck of the woods, but I would probably lean into the East team being the 4 seed.
Hey, Joe, do you know what doesn't have a ceiling?
The Sonos Ray soundbar. Phenomenal soundbar that is sitting on my mantle right now. Love using it. Loved using it for the first time watching football last night during the Hall of Fame game. It is an exceptional speaker. Just the booming bass, how crystal clear it sounds, and how easy it is to set up and control courtesy of the Sonos app. You can use your own remote control. You just plug it in, follow the prompts. It's super, super easy, and it just makes your football watching experience better. It's going to make listening to podcasts, music better. Check it out for yourself. Visit Sonos.com to shop for the Ray now.
Let's take from J-Rod NFL Draft in the TDN Premium.
What's up, J-Rod? My guy.
Take.
Are you seeing J-Rod today, Joe, by the way?
I hope so, yeah. Making the trip to Spartanburg for Panthers camp. Love to see him.
Take. A healthy J.C. Horn makes the Panthers one of the best young secondaries in the NFL.
Yeah, I hope so, right? I mean, they've loaded up on corner talent with Henderson and Horn and bringing back Dante Jackson. They've got some young players that got experience at corner as well. Jeremy Chin's back there. Kenny Robinson, I'm optimistic on. I think they got a lot of really young players, and that's somewhat of a concern. You want to have maybe a little bit more know-how and veterans in the room back there, but they have a really nice collection of young DBs to go with some guys up front. And defensively, I mean, the team's in pretty good shape, right? I mean, they were a good defense last year. I think they can round out their depth in some areas, but I think there's a lot to be said about the young talent that the Panthers have in the secondary.
Follow-up question for you here, Joe. Isn't this kind of the concern that everybody has about the Panthers? Is that, like, yeah, on paper, there's talent up and down on both sides of the ball, but, like, coaching staff, direction – front office, like where they're trying to take this team. And that's really the question, more so than there's a talent. Cause I think we get lost in, oh, Panthers bad, but it's not so maybe necessarily the guys on the depth chart on paper.
Yeah. There's no question. Yeah. I don't think this is one of the worst rosters in the NFL. I think it's at least an average roster. maybe some areas you wish it was a little deeper, and you know, there's upgrade areas. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that this is a bona fide playoff roster, but the question that I have, and that's what I said about the Panthers this year and the whole quarterback thing, was like, do I really trust Matt Rhule and Ben McAdoo to be the guy that's going to develop this rookie quarterback in a make or break year for them? Like, I don't trust this coaching staff, and not there's things that we've heard that leads us to believe that, but also just look at the manifestation of it. When you watch football games, you can tell that they're overmatched on a weekly basis. They say goofy comments all the time. I mean, even the team provided content. It just doesn't give you a great feel about the leadership for this football team. And so I think that's going to be a stumbling block for Carolina. And that's probably going to keep a lot of people hesitant to fully buy in on what they've assembled on paper.
And I was kind of saving it for late in the show because I didn't want
it's,
to get super.
It's a you take, or it's a take from someone else?
It's a food take from somebody else.
Okay.
And I think this is going to spawn a whole conversation. It's why I left it for the back half of the show. Take, and this is from our good friend, Dolphins Grace. Ice cream cake must, and he put must in bold, must be eaten with a spoon.
You can eat it with a fork.
Yeah, I'm indifferent on this. Completely indifferent.
As compared, like, another utensil or with your hands? Like, what? Is there any further context on, like, what alternative he's looking to eliminate from your options for how to eat ice cream cake?
I think this is an anti-fork take. I think this is a don't eat cake with a fork, at least ice cream cake. And I just could not disagree more. I want to take this take a step further. This is a me take. This is a personal take. And that's why I kind of wanted to bring this up.
Okay.
You should not eat macaroni and cheese with a spoon. Unacceptable. And I know people who do, that they use the spoon to eat macaroni and cheese. Unacceptable.
I don't have strong opinions about this. I don't eat spaghetti with a spoon. Like, I feel strongly about that, but
mac and cheese, a pasta.
Are you a twirler
for spaghetti?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not one of those people that twirls it in a spoon. You ever seen this?
It's like serial killer behavior.
Bro, like, I'm not in on that at all. No, just use the
plate's
perfect. Stick it in the middle and twist it around, and then you bring the thing up and twist it in the air until there's no loose ends hanging off, and you shove the whole thing in your mouth.
Right.
Chris, what's the anti-spoon mac and cheese? Is it like, where is that rooted for you? That's such a vehement, like, offensive thing to do, to use a spoon to eat mac and cheese.
Like, it's not a soup. We're not like funnel. Like, it's a food. It's to be consumed. Like, it's not like you take a bite of mac and cheese. You don't like funnel the mac and cheese in like it's a soup. That's
so do you
my
believe
problem
in,
with it.
Are you a spoon? Spoons are only for soups and cereals. Like, does it have
correct
to be like a liquid based food, or else everything else has to be done with a fork?
Correct. If it has a liquid base in any capacity, spoon. Anything else, use a fork.
So if I can take it out of its package and I can sit it on the table by itself, and it's not just gonna like spill, and like the ice cream cake, for example, then that's a fork consumption item for you.
I would largely agree with that being the premise that I live my life by.
To bring this back to full circle. So for me, the fork with ice cream cake is like the, what's the videos with the sound where it's supposed to be like this, like deeply satisfying, like stimulus. Do you know what these are?
Are you talking, what? Like, say that again.
There's like videos that you listen to just for the sound because it's supposed
ASMR
to be like, please. Yes.
ASMR. Yes. Yes. That's what I thought you were referencing, like, but I didn't want to.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not, it's like, it's not my scene, right? But like, I let people like things, so it's fine. But it's like that with like leaving the grooves of the fork in the ice cream cake is that equivalent for me.
Wow. Mm, okay.
Like, to leave the tracks of the fork in the ice cream cake is very appealing.
That's good. Yeah.
Chris, I do have a question here for you. Do you have particular takes about when you eat quinoa? Like, is that a fork?
Oh, no, yeah. How do you do quinoa?
How do you do? Yeah.
You ready for a big take?
Yeah.
Quinoa's bad.
Extremely overrated. Yeah, extremely overrated.
Yeah, that's inaccurate, but I knew that's where you were going with it. Yeah, it's fine.
So I don't dislike things. I don't use a utensil for quinoa because I don't put quinoa in the house. So
I think quinoa's good. Couscous, phenomenal.
Couscous is banging.
Super good, bro. Super good. Let's go.
Chris, you a couscous guy?
No, I'm not a couscous guy. But do you eat rice with a spoon? Like, that's the kind of.
No, you eat rice with chopsticks, duh.
Or with a fork. Like, you don't use a spoon.
I very rarely use a spoon. I use a spoon to stir my coffee.
Again, another acceptable use for a spoon. I don't think that
because it's a liquid base.
Because it's again, liquid base. I think that.
Okay, Chris, I got one more for you.
Okay.
Jell-O. You could take it out of the package and it'll stay.
You use a fork. It's not. It's not a liquid. It's a solid. Like that's the definition of science right there. That is a solid.
Okay, so I was just testing your boundaries in life, and you've very clearly made it apparent that's a boundary for you. I disagree. I'd use a spoon for Jell-O, but
I can't tell you the last time I had Jell-O that wasn't a Jell-O shot. I'm questioning a lot of things right now.
You know what? It's a great point, Drew. I think once you pass a certain age, the only time there's Jell-O consumed is if you have a child, you have a small child, and that's just in the house as a snack or as a Jell-O shot. There's no really in between on that scale.
Half of my meals are just my daughter's leftovers every day.
Right.
So I eat two dinners. I eat my own, and then whatever she doesn't eat, I end up eating.
I have two more football takes for
us.
Let's get
great.
If anyone's still here.
No, I think they like when we do this. I think they. I got a tweet.
The riffs.
I got a tweet on yesterday, Thursday, about how elite of a watermelon take we had the other day. So people like when we go off the wall.
Okay.
Take from Andrew. Noah Sewell is the light version of Micah Parsons. Sewell can play edge as well as, if not better, than linebacker.
No, I don't think I agree. I do think there's a very compelling case for Noah Sewell to be the top linebacker in this year's class, though. I know the popular name right now is Trenton Simpson from Clemson, and he's an electric, dynamic player, and I'm going to have both of those guys graded in my top 25 prospects when my top version of a big board drops. But Noah plays legitimate sack backer, where Trenton is more of a space player and kind of a hybrid movable piece. He's Noah. But if you're looking for an actual stack backer at the next level, I think that's where Noah can hang his hat as a player. And that's kind of how I identify him. Not to say he's not valuable in some of those reps where they walk him up off the edge, but they do some really fun stuff with that where they'll spy him and he drops out of one side of the formation and he'll trace all the way across the other side to play like a buzz coverage or something like that and make some plays and occupy some throwing lanes and disrupt some passing windows. So he certainly has passing down value. I don't think he's this stiff, straight line sledgehammer play on third downs.
This last take that I have for us is a lengthy one. Maybe a notepad, pen, or pencil might be handy for this to understand what @JoeAtWork87 has for you guys here today. Okay,
Joe, is that his Twitter handle? JoeAtWork87.
Yes,
that's phenomenal.
You think it's at work when he submits his takes?
Yeah. This is just a guy that's bullshitting on Twitter at work all day, passing time. And he's like, well, I'm just gonna have a handle to match it. I
appreciate you waiting until like the 25-minute mark of the show for me to use the explicit tag. Like we were doing so well throughout the whole show. Now I got to tag because you cursed.
No, it
couldn't be you.
What do you do? You click a button? Have I burdened you that deeply?
Yeah, no, I just leave it in. I don't do any editing.
No, have I burdened you that deeply? You click a button? Okay. Oh, no.
Joe's take. Anyone who has ever scouted football will tell you that they have one or two positions they're particularly good at. Former Packers GM Ted Thompson historically found wide receiver after wide receiver in later rounds because he was so good at assessing the position. Take, with more teams moving to virtual settings for both scouting and interviewing, teams should move away from the model of having regional scouts to having positional scouts. So instead of having a West Coast scout, an SEC scout, a Midwest scout, etc., they should have a quarterback scout, a run game scout, a front seven scout, etc. Why force someone who's great at scouting DBs to spend only 10% of their time doing what they do best when they can simply look at the position that they know the best? I think this was very good. Appreciate Joe bringing this to the table, and I'll let you guys discuss.
Man, there's a lot to get into.
Yeah, I
first of all really don't think you're ever going to get fully virtual with your scouting. I think there's such a benefit of being there, getting to know people, getting to see body types in person. Like, all of that's very, very meaningful. And so I think that will continue to be preserved in the NFL, right? So I don't think it'll ever be virtual enough to make the non-regional piece of it make sense. But I respect where he's coming from, and I certainly feel that way about myself, where I feel better about my ability to get to certain positions. But I think you still have that opportunity within your structure for guys that maybe are better at certain areas to kind of work and cross-check those particular guys. Because even if you're a regional scout, you're still going to have to cross-check some guys. And so maybe you tap into that piece of it a little bit and say, hey, we've got – you're the West Coast scout, and we've got somebody in the Southeast here, and we want you to look at the corners. And so you kind of tap into it through that. So I don't think you'll ever see this fully happen. I really don't.
I think my biggest concern with this is more the valuations that you're giving. So what I mean by that is this. If you have one person that grades quarterbacks and another person that grades wide receivers, and they want to give an 8.0, or they want to give a 7.2, or they want to give a 92 as the grade, as just a couple of different examples from different scoring outlets here, and want to make sure that I'm vague enough that the football FBI doesn't come knocking on our doors or anything like that. But what is a 92 for me versus what is a 92 for Joe when we're looking at different positions? And that, for me, like, when it comes time to put those names on the board, yes, you put them in buckets. You put them in tiers, and then the tiers of your comfort level to make decisions. But how can I horizontally scan all the best players available, knowing that the criteria and the inherent definition that exists for Joe versus Keith versus Brentley versus Damian versus Kyle for what an 80 is going to be a little different? And we have a couple year sample size of this, where we have players that we see differently, and everybody has their own respective wins and losses as it pertains to the valuation component. But you get a big enough sample size, and you can see the discrepancy that exists within the average grade that each of our scouts gives out. And when you are an operation as big as the NFL, and you're constantly having personnel changes and system changes and communications, as far as, you know, you've got entry-level scouts that you have to educate and train, and then you have hierarchy changes when people leave. That's so much structure you now have to figure out if you're going to put people into individual position bubbles to give you the proper perspective on the class that you need when it comes time to actually make decisions. And that, for me, is the barrier that, like, I would never be able to get past as it pertains to this type of evaluation model or approach.
Good discussion point, though.
No, nobody had anything on that.
No,
huh?
I agree with you. I feel not. And we, I mean, even right now, as we work through summer scouting and working through some of the more challenging players and how you're going to project things forward and putting them in initial buckets, it's like everybody has a different appetite for different things. And I think you make a really good point about making sure, going back to the consistency and criteria is really, really important to get that complete picture. So I liked the angle you had there.
Cool. Well, Chris, I believe that's it for the.
That is it. Takes on Takes, episode 165, in the book.
In the books. Thanks to our friends at Bet Online for their continued support of the show. And thanks to all of you who tuned in this week for Draft Dudes. We hope you will tune in again next week. Kyle Krabs, Joe Mano, Chris Schubert, make it a great weekend, and we will talk with you all again on Monday.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review. Want more? Head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic, but today work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.